Look a little outside this morning out there. A lot of freezings in the house this morning. We're welcome to have you here. Well, I hope that you all had an enjoyable week since the last time we met. I had the opportunity to spend the last week with my family in Ohio. And that's always fun, a chance to get outside, to do some work, to kind of forget about my studies and some of the heavy things that I have to do with schoolwork, and get a chance to actually work with my hands again, things that I love to do, to get outside. And I also got a chance to get up a good sweat this past week. week before I went home to Ohio, my older brother gave me a call, and he plays basketball every Monday night with a group of guys. And he asked me if I'd like to play along with them. And there was a time back when I was younger when I could run up and down the court real well with these guys. It would be a few months. But I hadn't played in quite some time. But I was excited because I have a brand new pair of basketball shoes that I have not used. Well, obviously, because I haven't been able to play a lot. And I got these shoes for free. Top of the line pair of shoes. One of Sonia's cousins went from about 5'8" to 6'2" in a period of about a week. So after he ordered these shoes and they came in the mail, they weren't able to fit anymore. I'll take them. Well, if you've ever worn new shoes, you know they need a little bit of breaking in. And I showed up a little late for basketball that night. We actually played on Tuesday because Monday was Christmas. And I went straight into the game. Without any warming up, didn't stretch, didn't shoot at all. I changed my shoes, jumped in, and started playing. The very first time I tried to run down the court, in these brand new shoes that hadn't been broken in at all, I fell like a sack of potatoes. I looked like I was trying to run on ice in my socks or something, because I couldn't get any traction, and I started running, and I just went face down in front of 8 people that I had never met before. But when I finally did find my feet, and I started playing with these guys, I was soon winded. I really got tired, and I got tired quick. I was the youngest guy there by a couple years, and all these guys were in far better shape than I was. And I knew at that time that I needed to set myself a New Year's resolution. That this year would be the year that I would get in shape. Sounds familiar, right? Well, today is December 31st. 2006. And in about 13 or 14 hours, people around the United States will start to gather to watch their televisions or to gather within Times Square in New York City to watch this big ball drop. And when this ball hits the bottom, the lights go on, the fireworks go off, and we celebrate the beginning of a new year together. And just like me, a lot of people around the world will be setting New Year's resolutions. They'll be setting goals for themselves for the upcoming year. Many people set goals to quit smoking, or to spend more time with their family, to find better jobs. And like me, I think that many people make the resolution to get into better shape. I have no way of proving this, but I would guess that that is probably the most common New Year's resolution, to lose some weight or get into better shape. Now, I have decided that I'm going to do 3 separate things to help myself with my goal of getting in better shape in the new year. I plan to train with weights so that I can strengthen my body to make it better. I plan to do cardiovascular training, some kind of aerobic exercise, to strengthen my heart. And I also plan to watch what I eat, to be careful about what I put into my body so that I can improve my overall health. Now this morning, I plan to address these 3 areas where I plan to improve my own body and use them as metaphors for ways in which we can improve our Christian walk as well. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn and follow along with me for a scripture from this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Chapter 4, 6 through 10. Beginning in verse 6. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Now, over the Advent season, we have been looking at Old Testament passages that speak to our need for and the coming of Jesus Christ. We have looked at God's right as Creator to judge the people that God has created. We have looked at our need as sinners to repent for what we have done. And we have looked at the kingdom of God, which we as believers are called to be a part of. And as a part of the kingdom of God here on earth, we must ask ourselves now, how should we live? How shall we live as a part of God's kingdom? We have gone through this process of repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But it doesn't stop there. Now what? In verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, if you put these instructions before your brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Now what Paul says here in the NRSV, as I read, a good servant of Jesus Christ, many of you are probably looking at the NIV, which reads, a good minister of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we don't need to get caught up on, the word minister. Because what Paul is referring to here is not an ordained minister or a pastor or somebody in that kind of a role. He's referring to someone who is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers, we are all called to be servants of Christ. It is our duty as Christians to be a servant, to be a minister of the word of Jesus Christ. So even though the NIV uses this word minister, it doesn't just apply to people who are members of the clergy. It applies to all believers. Now in verse 7, Paul goes on to say, have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Now it's hard to say exactly what Paul is referring to when he instructs Timothy that has nothing to do with these myths or wives' tales. But if we look at the society in which these people were living, we see a Greco-Roman society where they would have believed in many gods. We refer to the Greek system as a polytheistic system. It is a world where they believe in many gods. It is a pantheon. The Greeks would have had a god of the earth, a god of the ocean, a god of fire, a god of love, fertility gods, many, many gods would have ruled over the Greeks. And what they understood as their gods were sometimes difficult for many people to grasp their minds around. For instance, what about the natural occurrences that took place in their world? Remember, we're talking about thousands of years ago, before the major advancements in sciences. How would the Greeks understand something such as thunder and lightning? Well, often they would make up stories about how the gods, what they would call the gods, would have influenced the nature around them to make thunder and lightning occur. And we do this as well today. Think about how we explain thunder to children. What do we tell them? We say, it's angels bowling. And this is kind of the way that the Greeks would explain the natural phenomena that were going on around them as well. In high school Greek mythology, we would read books such as the Iliad and the Odyssey, which is just filled with story after story about how the gods of the Greek pantheon intervened with the people, and how the gods would interact amongst the people, and how this would affect the things that were going on around them. So I believe that these are the wives' tales that Paul is referring to when he tells Timothy not to get caught up in the myths and the wisetales of this world. But Paul doesn't just tell Timothy to not get caught up in these things. Paul goes on and tells Timothy what he should get caught up in. In the rest of verse 7 through verse 8, he says, "Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So Paul is saying that there is some merit to physical training. While there's not as much value in physical training as godly training, there is still some value in physical training. Now, Paul uses this idea of physical training because, again, in this Greco-Roman world, the physical body was almost worshipped. The Greeks had set up gymnasiums throughout this empire where people would get together and they would just exercise and train. Remember, the Greeks are the ones that invented the Olympics. So athletics were extremely important to them. They would practice and grow together, working out, strengthening their bodies, and improving themselves for athletic events such as running and jumping and throwing events. But Paul says there is more value in training in godliness than in this physical training. And this morning I want to look at these three areas that I told you about earlier where I said I wish to do some training of my own physical body. And I'll show you how those can relate to our godly training that Paul describes here. And I want to begin this morning by looking at training our bodies. Now, we call upon our bodies to do a lot of things. For instance, if we sit down and stand back up, I'm using my leg strength to lower my body down and to raise it back up. And my muscles have to be strong enough to lift, we'll just say, well over 200 pounds every time I do that. But if I do that repetition right there with more weight than what my body is used to, my muscles must respond. They must get stronger because more is required of them. Every time I do that repetition, say if I had an extra 50 pounds in my hand, my muscles would tear just a little bit. And when they grow back stronger than they were before. And that's how I gain strength. So after doing just standing up from a seated position with 50 pounds more than my legs are used to, my legs would eventually grow stronger. Now, when we train our bodies in a godly way, it is not our physical strength that we are trying to increase. It is not our physical body that we're trying to improve upon. But it is our Christian walk which we are trying to strengthen. And we do this by participating in Christian service. We do this by helping others out, by using our bodies to do God's will. Now this week, several of my friends will be leaving for the Gulf Coast, where they will be working at rebuilding a church that was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. And they will be calling upon their bodies to do things that their muscles normally wouldn't do. They'll be carrying heavy paint cans and bricks and rebuilding this church. These are things that their bodies aren't normally meant to do. They don't do day to day. And surely their body will have to adapt and grow stronger because of this. But they are doing this because they're seeking to gain more muscle mass or size. But they're doing this because they're trying to improve the strength of their Christian walk. Matthew 25, verses 34 to 36. Jesus tells us, "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was imprisoned, and you came to visit me.'" Obviously, God and Christ appreciate it. Actually commanded of us to look after our fellow brother and sister, to help them out with physical needs, especially those who are not able to look after themselves. Christ commands us to do these things, and by doing them, we are being faithful to Christ and growing stronger in our relationship with Him. Now the second area that I wish to address as far as my physical training is the training of our hearts. Now, I will be the first to admit that I don't do a lot of cardiovascular training. And cardiovascular training is anything that raises your heart rate and your blood rate, such as running, brisk walk, climbing stairs, or doing something like that that gets you, well, winded, I guess. I don't do a lot of this, and I've paid the price for it, as was seen whenever I tried to play basketball with my brother. But cardiovascular exercise is important because it increases the strength of your heart. It makes your body more efficient. You're able to move the blood around your body and oxygenate your muscles and get them the fuel that they require to do the work that you're asking of the muscles. Now, if I was to try to run 100 meters right now, as fast as I could, I would be very tired, probably, even after only running 100 meters. But if I would enter into a time of training, and I would practice and running every day, day after day, my cardiovascular strength would improve. And after a while, I wouldn't be nearly as tired after running only 100 meters, because your heart can get stronger and more efficient. But if I don't do any kind of cardiovascular training, then I will be quite weak in this area. My heart will grow weaker, and it will not be as efficient and as useful to me. Now, as we train ourselves for godliness, we must not neglect our heart as well. We must remember that we are not the only people on the face of the earth with feelings. And our hearts must be strengthened so that we can care for our fellow brothers and sisters. As we train for godliness, we must remember one another. Because we are called to love one another. We are called to care for each other. And we are called to bear one another's burdens. And this can be hard to do sometimes, living in a world that is filled with so many things that are so wrong. We see people dying every day. We see people hurting and struggling. And these things tend to desensitize us towards things of that nature. Now, I've been in a pastoral role since about 2003. And during that time, I've seen many people struggling with many issues, health concerns and social issues, family issues, and things of that nature. And unfortunately, I have seen many people afflicted with cancer as well. Unfortunately, though, after seeing a few people suffer from this disease, I feel that I have become desensitized as well to what goes on with some people when they have cancer. You start to hear people having stories about having cancer, and you say, well, it's just another case. They'll treat this, they'll get better. And you don't realize how much of an impact it has on people and their lives. And then recently with my mother-in-law's struggle with cancer, I realized just how much it can impact somebody to be living with cancer or to be a member of a family that is living with cancer. And I feel as if I have been strengthened through my experiences with my mother-in-law as she has fought this disease. And it hasn't been easy. It's never easy to train. It's never easy to get stronger. But through this all, I feel like I can better minister to people now. I feel that I can relate better to people who are suffering from this disease. And I hope that if anybody experiences this, that I can show the love and compassion that I have for them now, rather than just assuming that they're going to be all right. And I trust that God will guide us all as we strengthen our hearts through this experience, as we have someone in our own congregation that is going through this experience right now as well. We must learn to love one another. We must strengthen our hearts. We must show each other empathy and sympathy as they struggle with things. This applies to all sorts of walks of life. So while my heart had grown weak, I believe that the recent exercises that it has been through have strengthened me. Now, the final area of training that I would like to address this morning is that of what you put in your body. I think it's very important that we monitor, when we are in training, what we eat and drink. It's very often overlooked. People think that they can just go out and exercise as much as they have to, and then eat whatever they wish to. Eat ice cream and candy and cookies, and I'm guilty of this as anybody else. And we fail to recognize the importance of what we put in our bodies. And it's not only important to avoid certain things, such as fats, candies, and sweets. It's just as important to monitor, to make sure that we include certain things in our diet as well, if we are training to become more physically fit. We must make sure to get a balanced ration of fruits, vegetables, complex carbohydrates, and lean meats if we are to ask our bodies to grow stronger and to heal from what we've been asking of our bodies as we train. If we are to make any improvement, we must provide the right fuels for our bodies. Now, as Christians participating in godly training, we must watch what we put into our bodies as well. We must avoid the bad things, just as an athlete avoids sugars and sweets and fat, that might keep us from achieving our goals. And Paul calls these things the works of the flesh. And in Galatians 5:19-21, Paul gives us a list of these things, where he writes, "The works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these. I warn you as I have warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." These things are like sugars and fats are to an athlete. If we indulge in these things, or even participate in these things in some manner, they will impede, if not completely halt, our progress in our Christian walk. We must totally avoid them if we are to ever make progress. But just as important as it is to avoid certain things, it's also just as important to indulge in certain good things. We must indulge our diets, in things that we refer to as the spiritual disciplines. We must make sure to indulge ourselves, to infuse our bodies with prayer, with Bible study, with journaling, if that's something that's important to you. If you're interested in music, if music gives you a spiritual rush, turn up the radio and sing out loud. We must fill our bodies with these good things if we expect to make goals that we set for ourselves in physical, in our godly training. That's why I can't find where I am on this page. So we must spend time each day in these spiritual disciplines, reading our Bibles and in prayer if we want to make progress. Now, one major mistake that many people make every time that they try to improve their physical bodies is that they will change their diet and their exercise routine for a short period of time, saying things like, "Well, I want to lose 10 pounds, so I'm going to start running until I lose 10 pounds." And then when they meet their goal, they stop doing it altogether. If we want to see long-term changes, we can't just change our life for a short period of time. We must change our lifestyle. We must change the way we live. And this is just as true for our godly training as it is for our spiritual training. Because we can't expect to do something one time and expect major changes in our lives. You can't do one service trip and expect your Christian walk to be instantaneously and forever changed and improved. We can't love somebody one time and expect that to last forever. We must make an attempt every day of our life to participate in these activities if we are to grow as a Christian throughout our lifetime. And as we approach 2007, it is my hope that we will make New Year's resolutions as a church and as individuals. Now, I have no problem if anybody here has any desires to set physical improvement goals. If you want to get in better shape in 2007, that is wonderful. But my challenge for you this morning is for every goal that you set for your physical body, set two for your spiritual life. For every goal that you set for your physical self, set two for your walk with God. So this year, I've made the New Year's resolution to get into better shape. And alongside with that, I plan to also try to get into better shape with God as well. And to do that, I also plan to set the goals of trying to bring a friend to church. Someone who doesn't go to a church. This is one of my goals, is to bring someone that's not a Christian. And another goal then would be to pray for everybody in this congregation every day by name. These are the two goals that I have set to improve my godliness, as I set one to improve my physical self as well. And we need to do this together. It is my challenge to you to do this as well, to set yourself these goals, but to share them with one another. Because it is difficult to keep to these goals if you try to do it on your own. If you were to try to improve your body by diet and exercise, it's very easy to cheat if nobody else is helping you out. And the same is true with your walk with Christ. Share your goals with one another. Ask for help. And I think that together, we can grow in Christ in 2007. So as we train our bodies this year, hoping to make strength and fitness improvements, let us not neglect our walk with Christ. Let us remember to strengthen our spiritual bodies through helping one another. Let us remember to strengthen our hearts by loving each other. And let us remember to strengthen our overall health by being careful of what we put in to ourselves and into our bodies. Will you please join me for a word of prayer? Gracious and loving God, as we begin a new year, we ask that you show us, Lord, what you have in store. Show us, Lord, what you want out of our lives. Help us, Lord, to set goals that we may achieve in 2007. And Lord, while there is value in physical training, we know that you value training in godliness far more. May we set at least two goals that will help us to gain a better understanding of who you are in our lives. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.